All of you moviegoers will remember this one. Tom Hanks played the part of the, I believe it was a FedEx cargo plane employee who crashed and was stranded on a desert island in that movie called Castaway. Remember, it was a story of how he managed to figure out how to survive in a modern-day Robinson Crusoe-type story. A little bit after that, Super Bowl 37, I believe it was, the commercials, Super Bowl commercials always get a lot of attention, and this particular one was a spoof on the part of FedEx, a takeoff after the movie Castaway, and in this particular commercial, this delivery guy, rather rugged looking, goes up to a house and knocks on the door, and the lady comes and opens the door, and he explains that he's been stranded on a desert island while trying to deliver her package, and he's taken care of it for the past 5 years, and so now he's finally been rescued, and here is her package, and she just takes it and simply says thank you and starts to close the door, and he says, "Ma'am, if you don't mind, my curiosity's got the best of me. I really would like to know what it is in that package that I've protected with my life for the last 5 years." And so she tears it open and she says, "Oh, it's not really much of anything, just a satellite telephone, a GPS navigational device, a water purifier, and a few seeds." What could be worse than having those kind of resources at hand and not utilizing them for what they could do for you? One thing, having the Bible and never utilizing it for what it can do. This evening we're going to study getting more from the Word. And as we announced this morning, I'd like for us to look at some reminders, not some new and rare, recently discovered hints on how to get more out of the Bible. These are some things that we already know, and yet that we, I think, need to be reminded of from time to time. We talked this morning about how important God's Word is. We broke it down and looked at its various parts, and we, in an effort to get a better understanding of it, we realize how important it is to know that the various portions and parts and sections of the Bible are very important and have a purpose. And so this evening I'd like for us to begin at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17, and study how to get more out of the Word. Paul writes there in that passage, and I'm reading to you from the New American Standard Version, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Now, Paul points out some really important things there about God's Word, the first of which we touched on a little bit this morning when he says, "All Scripture is inspired by God." The word "inspired" means God breathed, or actually, literally, breathed out. That is to help us understand that Scripture is from God. It's not something that man dreamed up. It's not a good idea that God gave man and said, "Here, develop this and write something down." It wasn't that way. Scripture is inspired by God. It is infallible. God inspired the writers to write the words down accurately, true to His will, for it is a recording of His will. And Paul says that this word, the word of God, is profitable for teaching. Some translations will say doctrine, because those two words are used interchangeably in the New Testament. It is profitable for teaching or for doctrine. You want to know what God's stand is on something? Go to the Scriptures. You want to know what to believe about something? Go to the Scriptures. You want to know the difference in right and wrong on any given issue? Go to the Scriptures. The Scriptures are our source for the doctrine, the teaching of God and of His Son Jesus Christ. Someone has said that doctrine or teaching is the nuts and the bolts of what God wants us to do. I can relate to that. Why are we having such a difficult time getting people to go to the Scriptures for answers? Why is it that we'll walk 50 miles and spend all kind of trouble and effort to get around simply looking at the Scriptures to see what God says He wants us to do? The world today is in dire need of a greater appreciation for the applicability of the Scriptures. We'll go and see what so-and-so says and what so-and-so did and all of this and the other, and we could save so much time by just simply looking in the Scriptures and seeing what God says. Profitable for teaching, for the doctrine. Next, Paul says it's profitable for reproof. That's a negative thing. Negative in the sense of something that has to be done to stop something that's going in the wrong direction. In fact, stopping one from going in the wrong way is reproof. Scriptures are ideal for that. In fact, if you get ready to reprove someone about what they're doing as relates to spiritual matters, you better take the Bible in your hand. You better take the Scriptures with you, because the Scriptures are the source of reproof that cannot be argued with. And then Paul says Scripture is profitable for correction. Correction is pointing one back in the right direction who has been going in the wrong direction. And you reprove someone from going in that direction, and you correct him and point him in the right direction. Now, that's an oversimplification, of course. But we desperately need the corrective use of the Scriptures. When we look around us and we see that things don't appear to be going as they need to be going, the first thing we ought to do is consult the Scriptures and say, well, look, here's what the Scriptures say. This is what we've got to do. Number four, Paul says, training. Training in righteousness. Training suggests to me something that begins small and progresses. In other words, you don't take a first grader and sit him down and attempt to teach him long division, if he's a normal first grader. You sit him down and you begin to teach him or her the letters of the alphabet, and the sounds that those letters make. Maybe how to recognize those numbers. And as that child gets older and goes through the next grade, you begin to teach that child how to put those letters together in the words, and to recognize the words, and to put those numbers together, and to add them and subtract them. And as they get old, and finally one day you'll have a student who's ready to learn algebra and calculus and trig. They'll be better than I was, but they'll be ready then. You see, the training that can be obtained from God's Word is that way as well. For those who need to be taught the simplest of things, the information is there in Scripture. For those who have progressed and are mature and are no longer in need of the milk as a little babe, but who have the capacity to understand the bigger things, Scripture has those things. The training that is in righteousness, preparing one to be able to live in the right way. And then Paul says the bottom line is Scripture makes us ready for every good work. Now I'm here to tell you this evening, there are a lot of folks that I'm afraid don't want to be ready. I hope you're not one of those people, but I honestly believe there are some folks who have no interest in being ready for every good work. It may be because of that last word, that four-letter word that's so offensive to a lot of people, work. The good work. Good works. Paul said that's what God created us for good works. And Scripture holds the key to making us ready for every good work. This evening I'd like for us to take a look at three words that I want to suggest. Three words that will help us to get more out of the Bible. Now this assumes that you already have the discipline to spend some regular time studying the Word. If you don't have the discipline to sit down on a regular basis and read and study the Bible, then we need to back up a step because there's another problem existing in your life. We need the discipline to make ourselves approach God's Word. And if we're ready to approach it, there are some things that we can keep in mind as we read it. Far too much of the study that is done today, I'm afraid, of Scripture, study of Scripture, I'm afraid it's kind of like the study that you do with your insurance policy right after an accident has happened. You study that policy to see what all is covered and what is, well, what they're going to have to pay for and what you're going to have to pay for. How many of you, I think we've all been in close to that kind of situation where when something happened, where's the insurance policy? There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm here to tell you that God's Word is not designed to be studied that way. That at least that's not the primary way that we should study God's Word. We need to be studying God's Word in order to keep the accident from happening. We need to be studying God's Word as a preventive measure. All of our study, if all of our study is reactive, then we don't have our priorities right. And so let's study God's Word ahead of time in order to avoid the accidents, and then we won't have to go looking through it trying to figure out what to do. As you study God's Word, number one, consider observation. What do you see when you study God's Word? Do you see yourself or do you see others? Do you see opportunities or do you see restrictive chains that are holding you back from doing the kind of things that you want to do? I have a little acrostic here that reminds us of something that's very important to a lot of us these days, a good pair of glasses, especially reading glasses that you have to look around and find when you want to see the fine print. We've shortened the word spectacles to specs. Anybody seen my specs? Keep that word in mind as you look at the Bible, and here are some things that you will see. Number one, studying the Bible will help you to recognize sin that needs to be confessed. Now listen, nobody's perfect. If we don't believe that by now, we never will, because we tell ourselves that all the time. Nobody's perfect. And nobody is. But if there is active sin in my life, it's going to keep me from being able to go any further in my spiritual journey with the Lord. I've got to do something about that sin. I have got to confess that sin and get rid of it before I'll be able to make any measurable progress. And so the first thing on the list when we look at God's Word and it causes us to understand that what we're doing is not right, then take that opportunity to get rid of whatever it is. I like that phrase that I think Brother Frank Pritchett always uses when he prays. If there's anything, Father, that stands between we and thee, help us to see it and help us to get rid of it. That is so important. And that's one of the things that God's Word will help us to do. It'll help us to recognize the things that aren't right in our lives. We'll also see in God's Word promises to claim. You ever go on the internet and look up unclaimed merchandise? You know, there's several websites now. You can go there and enter your name, a little bit more information about yourself, and it'll search a database to find if there is anything out there that you have not claimed. I've known a lot of people who have found rather sizable amounts of money in refunds or rebates or tax refund checks that were sent and never delivered or something like that. You might be surprised. But in a spiritual sense, are we guilty of leaving unclaimed some of God's promises to us? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, Peter speaks of God's precious and very great promises that He has given unto us. And we learn about those promises, and we are able to recognize those promises when we study the Word. E stands for examples to follow. You ever come up against a situation that just has you stumped as to knowing what to do? You might be surprised at how easily you can find an example in the Bible that will help you to see clearly what you need to do. God's Word holds great examples for us to follow, if we'll follow them. Commands to obey. Some folks think this is all that the Bible has in it. That's not so. But yet still, these commands that the Bible has for us to obey are very important, critical, you might say. If they weren't important, they wouldn't be there. And we need to study God's Word in search of those commands that need to be obeyed. And it'll also help us to see clearly the stumbling blocks that need to be avoided. Stumbling blocks in front of us and behind us as well. You see, sometimes there are stumbling blocks out there that get put in front of us. Sometimes, as we go our merry way, we're guilty of leaving stumbling blocks behind us for others to come upon. God's Word will help us to avoid stumbling on the stumbling blocks and leaving the stumbling blocks behind us. Observation. Number two. Interpretation. Interpretation means, well, it means figuring out what it means. I won't say that interpreting the Scriptures is always easy in every case. But I think I can say that it's not nearly as hard as some people would have you to believe. There are five important things that I would suggest to you in the interest of interpretation of the Scriptures. Number one is content. You'd be amazed at how many people have their own interpretation of Scripture, and you come to find out that the Bible doesn't say anything at all like that. They've gotten it wrong from the very beginning. That doesn't resemble anything that's found in the Bible, and they've already interpreted what it means for their life. kind of puts us in a little bit of a silly situation. We need to make sure of the content before we can do a good job of interpreting. And secondly, context. The context of Scripture is the surrounding information, that which is before it, that which is after it. Always consider the context. We don't want to be guilty of, as we say, taking things out of context. Jesus washed the apostles' feet. And some have taken that out of context and tried to make it a binding church ordinance. There are a lot of other examples we could use, but we understand that we need to be sure of the context. When you read it, back up and read what's in front of it and read what comes after. Number three is comparison. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Now, let me give you a little hint right here. That's only possible if you are a little bit familiar with the Scriptures. Not trying to discourage us from being able to do that. I'm trying to encourage us to learn more of the Scriptures so that when we come upon a Scripture, we'll know that there's something else similar in the text somewhere, and we can find it and look and see and compare them together. That's always important in interpreting the meaning of Scripture. Culture. What is the scenery? What is the setting of the original instruction? Who was the Lord talking to? Did they already have some preconceived notions in their minds, or was He talking to them about something that He had already given them detailed information about? And so instead of wondering, well, why didn't He say more about this, we realize they already knew the details. He was just reminding them of something that they had already discussed, as was the case of the Apostle Paul. Consultation. Secondary sources, resources, commentaries, Bible dictionaries, Bible atlases. Carefully done, considering that those are works that are not inspired, written by mortal men, many of them full of opinion, and some of the opinions will steer us in the wrong way if we're not careful, if we don't know what we have. But the consultation is very important. Martin Luther once said, "I study my Bible like I gather apples. First, I shake the whole tree so that the ripest may fall. Then, I shake each limb, then each branch, then each twig. Then, I look under every leaf." Somebody says, "Well, that sounds like a lot of work." And maybe that's why we tend to shy away from the right kind of Bible study. It's work. There are no shortcuts. We need to be intense with our interpretation and study. And then number three, application. Application. How does it work? How does it work? Number one, know the text. Know yourself. Know what you're doing as you seek an application of Scripture. Number two, relate it. Relate what is being read. In other words, put it into practice. Relate it to a real situation. Number three, meditate on it. As David said, day and night. And then number four, practice it. Live it. James said in chapter 1 of his little letter, verses 22 to 25, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Told you at the start that this wasn't going to be something new and different, but just some things that we need to be reminded of. Some very important things. What could be more important than utilizing God's Word for the benefit that it holds for us? If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.